Welcome to Madison Square Garden, where tonight America's greatest Tetris champion will face off against the Russian newcomer Boris Kolesnikov.
You ready to get schooled, foe?
You will lose.
In the world of high-stakes video game tournaments, a legacy is ending.
He's down! The American champ is down! This is the worst I can ever see!
No man can stop me!
And a new era has begun.
I am the greatest Tetris champion ever. In 3 days' time, I will prove it by inviting a host of challengers to my own private island.
You gotta get in there, Rick. It's all over for me. But you're the best Tetris player I've ever seen.
I don't play anymore.
Why not? You're the best!
A man challenged me to Tetris once, so I linked my Game Boy to his. He was no match for my skills, so he had a seizure and died. I've already taken one life with my powers. I won't risk it again.
What is this list of girly men to come fight me? I must face Rick.
He won't play anymore.
Make him.
Honey, where are you? Hello?
We have your girlfriend. Enter our competition, or she die.
No!
And now, one man's quest begins to save the only woman he loves.
I need a ticket to Tetris Island.
By playing the only game he fears.
Welcome to the tournament. If you win, you live.
What happens if we lose? But this time, the blocks are real.
Tetris!
I bet the American don't last 5 minutes.
Come on.
And the winner is wrecked by a line.
His power is even greater than my own. He must be crushed.
Hold on.
You can't make it, man.
My boyfriend's gonna beat you.
We will see.
And it all comes down to this, the final match. Rick versus Boris.
What have you done to my girl, Cossack?
She's playing with us. Strap her to the blocks.
Rick, help me.
One false move and she dies.
From Uri Boll, director of Blood Rain, and some other crap.
Come on, Rick, you can take this sucker! Now that's what I call a Tetris.
Comes a film like everything you've seen before.
I'm not doing this for the money.
I believe in you, Rick!
I'm doing it for her.
Tetris, the movie.
Hold on to something!
This is no game.
I must break you.
Go for it.
It's a shitty movie based off of.
Hello and welcome back to BenHeck.com podcast, episode 6. I can't believe you still put up with us. Today's topics, we're going to do listener mailbag. There's a bunch of questions that we had on the forums, and we're going to answer those questions briefly. And then the next topic after that is our favorite games of all time. You've heard us bag on stuff, now discover the games and consoles we love most. Maybe it will explain some of our biases, maybe not. The topic after that is the most overrated games you've ever played. Some games, while good, aren't all they're cracked up to be by the press and general public. So you'll hear our picks for the top most overrated games. And we have another category, which is the worst games we've ever played. Total crap. Mostly movie games on the NES.
Yeah.
All right. And Jones is here, too.
Yes. How is everybody?
Yeah.
I have a headache, but I will persevere.
Yeah, I had that yesterday. Okay.
It doesn't require Excedrin, though, so I will make it through.
That's good. Okay, we're going to go through our questions here. I guess I'll read the questions that we have in the mailbag, and let's see. All right, question one. Do you think Sony's going to hit the bandwagon and get some real online support for the... Oh, they put PayStation. I assume they meant PlayStation 3. Maybe they wrote that on purpose. Try and fail or even try. What do you think, Jones? Are they going to have good online support for the PS3? Better than last time?
I think
time?
It'll be better than the last time.
I think it'll be probably a solid third, though, overall, yeah. Compared to the Nintendo.
I think it'll be some strange hybrid between what they do now and, like, Xbox Live. But
yeah.
It won't quite make it to that level.
Right, so it'll probably be better, but probably the worst of the new generation.
Yeah.
Next question. Do you guys think Nintendo is relying on gimmicks and redundancy to make money, what with the virtual console on the Wii, the remade SNES, GBA games, and other ports?
Yes.
Yes, I agree, too. I always felt the doing what Atari did. They're barely updating their hardware and releasing the same games over and over and over. because Atari, you know, had the 800 computer, which they made into the Atari 5200, which was then made into the Atari XEGS, and nobody wanted to buy last-generation technology back then. Okay, let's move on. Next question. You two are two of the only four... That's confusing. You and Ben are some of the only members on the forums that do not like the Wii. How does it feel to be hated by the other 2,260 members?
Wow, I didn't realize that people hated us.
Well,
that's
you said
sweet.
You said you have a headache, right?
Yeah. Maybe they're all channeling their negative energy at me right now. And
well, yeah, I had a headache yesterday, so that's probably where that came from.
It feels good to be the voice of reason, I guess, if that's what they're asking.
Yep. Hey, we're going to give... We're going to give all the systems a shot. We're not being biased just because something's... We'll give it a shot.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll see.
We're actually going to play the thing.
Yep. We're not like anti, I will never buy a Sony kind of people, which some of the Wii people are. Next question. What is your favorite portable? That was my impression of the, you know, the British spelling of it.
Yes.
My favorite portable? The Atari Lynx. Jones, do you have one? You're not really a portable guy.
I'm not really a portable guy. The only one I've ever owned was the original Game Boy.
Okay, so there we go. Next question. How much tech is too much? Games should be more about the plot / gameplay than graphics, shouldn't they?
I would agree, but it's nice when you get both the plot and the graphics all in one package.
It's not like it's Sophie's Choice. You
can have both.
You can have both. All right. Next question. I guess this is for me. Ben, do you even have a job other than making portables? I know you used to work at that sign shop, but I remember you once mentioning that you don't anymore. I have a theory that you won the lottery and just won't tell anyone. Yes, the way I make money is by making portables and hacks, so I don't have an official real job, which is always fun at tax time.
And it's pretty cool.
Sometimes.
I say more power to Ben if he can pull it off.
Yes, well, I haven't been evicted yet. So,
stick it to the man.
Yep. Okay, let's see what's next. Why aren't we seeing any of the Nest Peas? That sounds like Nestle Quick, Nest P. Why aren't we seeing any of the Nest Peas that you said you were going to start producing, like the lowercase phoenixes? Because I haven't gotten around to doing it yet. Okay, next question. Why
Slacker.
Does the Wii cost so much? I mean, the Wii is basically an Xbox with a fancy controller. I'm just phonetically, you know, spelling out the misspellings. And Wi-Fi, and you get a Core 360 for blah, blah, blah. Okay, the reason the Wii costs so much is so Nintendo can make a bunch of profit. Next question.
Yes.
What is the next step of photorealistic graphics? In 1993, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what do you think? When are we going to get photorealism, Jones?
Probably the generation after next.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll even be in the next generation after this current
one
that's coming around right now.
So, PlayStation 4, Wii with four eyes, and the Xbox 720, you mean?
I think even after that one.
Oh, you think it'll be another generation ahead?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe towards the tail ends of the lifespans of those systems, like Xbox 720 or whatever and all that, maybe we'll start to see that, but I think it'd be the systems after that.
I think it depends on what the game is about, because Gran Turismo 4, even on the PlayStation 2, looks pretty darn... If you squint,
there's
you know.
Spots that it looks pretty damn good.
But of course, that's cars, objects, not people.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons it looks realistic is because they make everything shiny and whatnot. So, yeah, with people, it could be a ways away. Let's say 10 years. Okay, next question. Do you think the game industry is headed in a positive or negative direction?
I think it's going in a good direction right now. It's kind of expanding into new areas. There's three fairly strong combatants making systems right now, so there's good competition. And
yeah.
There's a pretty good variety of games out there. I mean, there's something that everybody's going to like. So
I think the microtransaction thing, though, could turn out
that
to be kind
be
of
bad.
Evil.
Yes.
That's the only thing I'd be worried about right now.
Like, thank you, Sony.
Isn't EA allowing you to... You can buy money in that Godfather game?
Yeah, I saw that.
You can buy money.
I mean, the thing with that is if you're dumb enough to do it, then that's your own goddamn problem, I guess. But stuff like where Sony's talking about nickel and diming people for, like, the next Gran Turismo game,
yeah,
that sounds
but
like
I read today that the Gears of War demo might only be on the gold Xbox Live. Oh, well, you know what? That's a whole other topic. Moving on.
That'll be the next podcast.
Next question. Will you actually be testing and reviewing the PS3, cough, inside Walmart, cough, and the Wii to rid us of your biased opinions? Yes.
Bias? Oh, jeez. How dare these people? At least we're going to give those systems the benefit of the doubt.
I'm going to say right now, it was only a couple weeks away, so I'm going to say right now, the Wii will have a calibration required. Nobody's talked about it yet. Nobody's pulled one out of a box.
Yeah,
it's always been like a Nintendo representative holding your hand at a kiosk they have set up where they try to hide the sensor bar.
And they walk you into position and everything.
They walk you into position and then say, fire! Okay. It's going to have a calibration. Let's move on.
But yes, we'll see about the play testing of them.
Yeah, do you think politics will have any bearing on the sales of different game systems, seen as a 360 is a bit of an outcast being produced in America? I guess they mean
in Japan.
Japan, yeah. Because I don't know if Kim Jong II wants an Xbox 360 or not.
Well, he should. He's probably got two.
I'm so lonely. I need an Xbox.
No, he's got like a DS and he plays Nintendogs on that to take care of his loneliness.
Well, you know, we bought Japanese systems for 20 years. I think they could, you know, bend over and buy a 360.
Yeah, they could reciprocate for once. So.
Especially once Final Fantasy goes to it, which I have a strong feeling it might. Did you see that? It was on Joystick. The cover of the next EGM in the corner, it's like Metal Gear Solid 4 on 360?
Really?
The tide could turn. Although, I'm starting to think the PS3 won't fail like everyone thinks it will.
Oh, no. I think it'll do fine in the long run.
But. Yeah. All right, let's move on. This question's kind of silly. Who outweighs the market? Raving internet fanboys or Joe Sixpack?
Joe Sixpack.
Moving on. Ben, how much of your life is consumed by portable work? Too much of it.
Your soul has been swallowed by portables.
Although this last weekend I didn't do anything worthwhile.
I just
worked on Project X all weekend, which is enjoyable like a hobby for me. What is Project X? Who knows? It doesn't involve portables.
Stay tuned.
Is gaming worse than TV, or is watching TV worse? Both, I hear, are rather unhealthy. So you live in a cave, you've never watched TV or played a video game? Maybe it's an Amish listener? They have like a tin can they hook up to the fiber optic line?
It like says Satan inside on your PS2 or something, I don't know.
Well, I like watching TV, actually. I watch the kind of TV a person wouldn't expect. I like to watch like stupid reality shows and pimp my car and all that shit.
See, because of that shit, I would say that TV is far worse.
Well, I would agree too, because at least a video game makes you think.
Yeah, you get to interact with it in some way.
Yeah.
So. Get that hand-eye coordination down, you know, like they always used to say 10 years ago or whatever that was.
Hey, let's try to polish this off in 5 minutes. Okay, it's possible. I think we could do it. About how many downloads do you get per podcast? About 1,800 per episode. Next question. There will be a hard drive attachment for the Wii for Nintendo to receive more cash? Probably not.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Do you foresee a time when hardware consoles will be largely the same and perhaps even produced to a common specification just due to the sheer economy of scale?
Well,
it's possible. It already happened in the 3DO.
Tried that, but...
I think there'll always be at least two different versions, although you could say computers are all made the same since the Macintosh is a fairly insignificant portion of the market. There, I said it.
Yes. But then you get into your graphics cards and all that crap with computers.
Yeah, so it's not like it's the MSX standard, for instance. You know, it was a big computer standard overseas, which is basically a ColecoVision computer. That was a fairly big standard, but...
So, yeah, I don't
think we actually have a lot of variety now. I mean, think of all the... All computers are different, so that's pretty cool, even though they're all PC. I'm fine with that, though.
It works.
I probably just lost a few listeners there, but oh well.
That's fine.
What do you think? Why do you think Sony copies a lot of ideas, like the gyro sensor and the controller? They do copy a lot of ideas, but the thing is, people copied them. Notice how every console stands on end now, mm-hmm. like the PS2.
And the Wii.
So, you know, turnabout is fair play.
Yeah, and the 360 does and all that. So, all
right.
Yeah, it's... Everybody copies everybody. There's no barely any new ideas left.
Nope.
And as we've said before, Nintendo did not patent innovation.
Now, I thought we said we're going to keep that to a minimum this time.
Maybe.
Okay, moving on. Ben, where do you get all that money? You seem to be able to generate as many watts of liquid dough as you want to buy systems and pocket TVs in forklift amounts. Whatever forklift amount means.
That's a hell of a lot. It's like a whole pallet.
I sell anything I build so I can always build more. If I didn't sell anything, I would have stopped doing this like 5 years ago. So it's about throughput. Do you think Blu-ray will have a positive effect on video games? Like better graphics, larger worlds, blah, blah, blah.
I'd like to think so. I could see it kind of going the way of games like back in the Sega CD days, though, where they became like engrossed in putting video and crap on them.
Just to fill the space.
Yeah, so it could be the same thing with Blu-ray, because, right. You know, you look at it, a lot of games are going to be coming out for, you know, both the 360 and...
Like GTA 4?
Yeah, and the PS3, you know, so it's like, okay, so the PS3's disc holds like 4 or 5 times the amount of data.
Right.
What are they going to fill that up with? They're probably not even going to use most of it.
But they could use it.
They could, but probably won't.
It could also entice programmers to be lazy. Make more spaghetti code, you know, like the
kind of like computers.
Yeah, like the 2 gigabyte install of Windows XP.
Yeah.
All right, let's move
games
on.
Too.
Yeah. Is there any chance of you making a movie based off a video game? Give me $100 million and I'll do it. Next question. What game has frustrated you so much that you wanted to step outside and kick a cat? Battletoads is pretty goddamn hard on the Nintendo. Jones, you got one?
Oh, God, I don't even know. I know I've been frustrated before, but...
Okay, let's move on.
Anything.
Are new games really more fun than the classics? If they're better, they're more fun.
Yeah, just depends.
I don't know.
Just because the game's old doesn't mean it's
better.
Great,
just like movies.
Just like movies.
We've talked about that before. It's like, well, okay, there's our answer. Do you believe video games can be considered art? Yes.
I think so.
Because art is just anything that makes you feel a certain way, and I've... You know, there's some video games that make me feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just jumping around saying, "Wah!" But it's an emotion.
Yeah, movies, video games, any of that stuff can be art.
Yeah, 1905, they didn't consider movies to be art.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, next question. Well, I'm just assuming they didn't, but they probably didn't. If a developer lets you choose any dead game franchise to be resurrected, which one would you choose? Gosh, I don't know. How about a good Contra game?
Bring back Kid Icarus.
Hey, there you go. Duck Hunt 2, the second hunt for the Wii.
Oh.
Next question.
Isn't
why is it
Cabela's big game hunter already?
Why is it you... Yeah, they're going to sell Wiis at Cabela's. Why is it you can never find a soldering iron when you need one? I know exactly where mine is, so I don't see what the problem is. Next question, Ben. What is your preferred brand of soldering iron? The 15-watt Radio Shack one that's $8. Next question. What games for the Wii, despite your hatred of it or whatever, are you actually looking forward to? None.
I can't think of a single game I'm looking forward to.
But I'm looking forward to trying it, because
yes.
As we'll get to later, neither of us are 3D Zelda fans. So. What's the best thing about Wisconsin?
Cheese?
I like it. It's got a lot of different terrains to it. You have lakes, sandy areas, forest, open fields.
I actually like the climate, because you get all the seasons.
Yeah.
You get snow, you get the leaves in the fall, and you get hot summers. You get everything.
I haven't been to all 50 states, but this is probably still my favorite.
Yeah.
I guess that wasn't much of an answer, but...
It's just really cool. If you haven't been here, come here sometime.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and you can hang out, we can drink some beer. Anyway, question for Ben, what's your favorite type of case? Obviously, one built with CNC... The kind I make is my favorite kind.
Oh, I thought it would be like a case of MGD or something.
No, well, yeah. You better hurry up. Next question. Do you think the release of the virtual console for the Wii will increase awareness of emulation to Joe Sixpack? Yes. What is your opinion of the console homebrew? Blah, 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 blah. I think it's pretty cool. It's too bad more companies don't let people do it. Allegedly, there's Linux in the PS3, so maybe they will. Also, there's a thing coming for Xbox 360 called XNA, which allows... people to make games on the Xbox 360 and share it with their friends, even. Did I tell you that yet?
Mm-hmm. I was telling you.
Oh, yeah,
we were talking about that.
Yeah, that's where I heard it from. So, you know, I think it could happen. It's too bad Sony doesn't let it happen on the PSP, because it might flood them with junk, but people would have a new reason to buy the system and not a Game Park 32. Next question. When are we going to see a GameCube portable from the man himself?
That's an interesting question.
We will see.
Ben. It's possible.
How hard would you say it was to make your first portable? It was fairly... It wasn't that hard. It just took me a lot of time because it's the first time I ever did it. It was certainly easier than a lot of the ones I've done since, such as the Xbox or Atari laptop. Next question. We're almost done. Have you ever played the Atari 2600 game Freeway? If so, what are your opinions on it?
Yes! Freeway kicked ass.
Yes!
I played that all the time. You're zipping across the highway with a chicken.
This chicken, yeah. It originally was a man, and it was inspired from a trip to the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, I believe, and David Crane saw this guy running across the highway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, while they were going to the hotel or something, and that's where he got the idea for the game.
Huh.
But then, of course, they changed it to a chicken later on because...
Didn't want to have a person getting hit by cars or something.
Yeah. So, you know, you could have your pet chicken try to cross the road, and that was okay, but they didn't want people doing it.
Yeah. That game was a lot of fun, though.
Yeah. One thing is you couldn't move left and right. You could just go up and down, but you would race the other player.
Yeah.
It had a lot of colorful graphics. David Crane, about that game, said, you use a lot of black in the background to set off the colors. Mm-hmm. Graphic arts tip. Next question. We're almost done. Do fanboys really make up the majority of console game sales? We've already covered this. No.
Yeah, we answered that one already.
What console game have you enjoyed most over the years? Oh, that's our last question. And you know what? I'm not even going to answer it because...
What a segue.
It's a great segue because it has to do with our main topic, which is our favorite games. All right. So we're going to get on to our favorite games of all time. If you'd like to ask us a question and get a very brief answer like that... Post it on our forums or email it to me, but it's best to post in the forums because it is, just is.
They all collect in one place that way.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about our favorite games of all time, just so you know where we stand on stuff. And we're going to start with Jones's favorite. Do you want to go top down, like, you know, like the top 40, Casey Kasem, you know, like 10 to 1?
So you go 10, 9, 8.
Yeah, we'll start with your runners-up and then go 10 to, 10 to 1.
So we're going to go my 10, your 10, my 9, your 9, or what? Or just my 10 down to 1, your 10
down to
1.
Yeah, let's do your 10 down to 1, okay. My 10 down to 1. It'll be
and we did decide we're going to include arcade games and everything, or is
hey,
it just
I
console?
Did.
Okay, all right.
Any game. I don't care if it's hopscotch. Well, if there's a microprocessor, that helps.
Oh, crap. I would have picked that, you know, sandbag or beanbag tic-tac-toe game then. That was always a good time.
What's that game, Foursquare? What was that all about?
Oh, never mind. Yeah.
We'll cover that next podcast. Games of our youth. All right, go ahead, Jones.
Well, let's see. I suppose I should start with the honorable mentions. These were really cool games that just didn't quite make it into the top 10. So I got ActRaiser for the Super Nintendo in there, which was a really cool game. It actually kind of married side-scrolling action with strategy, which was kind of a revolutionary idea back in 1991 when it came out.
Was that a launch title for the SNES?
I'm trying to remember. It had to have been right around launch if it wasn't a launch title. But it was pretty wicked because you did a side-scrolling thing, and then you got to your little world, and then you helped all your people build up their little civilization, then you moved on to your next level. And so it was kind of like SimCity and some sort of side-scrolling action game. I got, like, Super Star Wars for the Super Nintendo in there, and actually you could put Empire and Jedi in there, too. Those are just some of the best Star Wars games ever made, and side-scrollers as well. A lot of fun. I have Street Fighter II from the arcade in here, of course, the ultimate fighting game ever made, so...
Yoga Flame! Hadouken!
And then a new one I put on here was Test Drive Unlimited for the 360 because I'm a big car fan or big car game fan. So it's a pretty revolutionary game in that it's like this whole online world where you're out there driving around with a bunch of other people and you're on this whole island and you can drive anywhere you want and all sorts of different races and different
missions.
Yeah, like
pretty interesting.
You can
do. So have you found Michelle Rodriguez to run over yet?
No. I saw a drunken woman in the street, and I thought it might have been her, but I guess it wasn't. So, you know, I think we managed to mention that like 3 times in our podcast now.
That's right. Hey, there's
a recurring theme.
A long time ago, I was in Hawaii, and we were going to go camping on the North Shore, and I was all pumped because a friend of mine lives out there in the Coast Guard and or lived out there. Anyway, then we find out there's this goddamn TV show filming out there, something called Lost, and I'm like... Damn you! So I had this vendetta against that show for a while. Then I started watching it. It's pretty cool. But now I have a vendetta against it again because season 3's been kind of wanky.
Oh, no.
But we did see the fuselage thing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, the set?
Yeah.
It's like 5 feet
huge
off the road.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's right off the road. So they must have to have the cameras down really low when they film it. Well, of course, they don't use that set anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. I said my anti-Lost piece.
And then I put FIFA Soccer for the Sega CD on here because that's a game that me and one of my friends, we pretty much like locked ourselves in a room for an entire summer and just played it nonstop. And there's probably been better soccer games that have come out since, but that one holds a special place for me. So on to my top 10, actually. And I tried to put them in some sort of order, but this probably could change at any time. For the most part, number 10 is Need for Speed for the ill-fated 3DO system.
Oh!
This is the original Need for Speed that came back before Underground and Carbon and all this crap. And it was a pretty cool game at the time because it introduced the concept of actually showing the dash of the car when you're in the in-car view. And so when you're driving down the road, it's like you're actually in a Dodge Viper or a ZR1 Corvette. And there were three different levels. There was like an Alpine stage, a coastal stage, and a city stage. And each one of those had three segments to it. And you had to get through them in the fastest amount of time. And you raced this dude, who we always just called him the dude. And basically the premise of the game was there was this rich dude who owned these eight hot cars, and he just wanted to race them. And so you got to race against this guy. And
sounds like a Jerry Bruckheimer movie.
Yeah. And it was pretty funny because, like, when you'd finish a level, he would come up and there'd be, because this was, of course, back when, you know, having full motion video in your game was a big deal, there'd be this little video segment with him. And so, like, if you ran into a bunch of cars during the race, at the end of it, he came on there and he's like, "Can you spell Bondo?" And he just had all these, like, retarded quips like that that would come up. So it was a lot of fun, and that was kind of the first game that really took the racing game genre to the next level and
cool.
Got me hooked forever. So, number 9 is Kid Icarus for the Nintendo Entertainment System way back in 1987.
There is an obscure title.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot about this game, but I remember I loved the hell out of it, and it's... It was one of the most, you know, when there's that question about the most frustrating game earlier, this one would probably be up there, because I remember it was extremely difficult.
I remember the theme song to it.
Yeah, it had really memorable music.
Yeah, it went boom. Hey, at least it didn't sing Justin Timberlake.
Thank goodness. But you still mentioned his name.
Ha
But so Kid Icarus, it was a pretty cool game. It had a lot of different elements to it, like where it kind of had the Mario style, where it had the different levels in the world. So you had, you know, World 1, Level 3, or whatever.
And you always continually went up.
Yeah. And had some Zelda elements and different things, but had some goofy characters like the Eggplant Wizard, who seemed kind of retarded until he turned you into an eggplant. And it's just a lot of fun if you can... I know there's a lot of Nintendo fans out there, and some of you have probably played this one, and if you haven't, you owe it to yourselves to try to hunt it down. It's a good time.
Or download it on the Wii!
If they make it available.
Yeah.
Number 8, it's one that I'm sure probably about everybody has played, is GoldenEye for the N64.
Yes!
Which came out just over 9 years ago now. This, I contend, is probably kind of like the Grand Theft Auto for the N64. It was the game that moved the most systems.
Probably kept it alive.
For the N64, because I remember I worked at Walmart.
It was the Space Invaders.
Yeah, I remember I worked at Walmart, and every time, well, like 9 times out of 10, when somebody would buy an N64, they'd always get GoldenEye with it.
That's why I bought it, because I'd played GoldenEye. I'm like, God, I gotta get this game.
Yeah. It was just a great game. It had the four... where you could play with four people all in the same room and have the split screen and everything. And
say it.
Huh?
You know what, the line.
I don't know which line. I'm blanking.
Your line.
My line.
Those were good times.
They were good times, too. Spent many a night playing that one into the wee hours. And then, not the wee hours, though.
We can't leave well enough alone.
No. Play it again on your Wii for the first time. Number 7 is a recent one, and it's probably not one that does anything groundbreaking, but goddammit, I love the game, so it's on the list, is Star Wars Battlefront 2 for the Xbox, and I suppose this could have been PS2 as well, but I got it for the Xbox, so that's where it stands, and that was just a lot of fun. It's like a big game where you can go online and play with a whole shitload of people, or you can just play in the privacy of your own home, and you're set in all the different Star Wars locales, like Mos Eisley, whatever, and you get to go around and blast the other troops, and there's all kinds of bots running around, so it doesn't just have to be human players in it. And
isn't that also, of the 3,964 Star Wars games that have ever been made, that's the top seller, isn't it?
Yes, and I would contend it's the best one. But
even better than LEGO Star Wars?
By a hair, because LEGO Star Wars is quite cool. But yeah, so that one's an excellent one, and me and my wife have played that one a great deal, so...
Yes,
quality
every
time
every,
with the
every,
wife on
every
that
time
one.
I go over there, you guys are playing that game.
Yes.
Or something.
Saving the galaxy again.
Yeah.
Number six is an arcade game.
Yes.
The only arcade game worth owning. Well, I guess there's many that are worth owning, but if there was only one, this would be the one, is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I probably could have bought one of the arcade systems with the amount of quarters that I poured into this thing.
Yeah.
It's like...
Me too.
It's just a fantastic game. It had where you could play four players on it, and you know, each person could take a turtle and tear through it, and the graphics were really cool, and it just had really fun gameplay to it, and it was, you know, each character had their strengths, and I remember every time I'd go, I must have been like 13 years old or something, going to Walmart, and Mom would go in the store, and I'd be like, give me some money. Like I was robbing the place or something, but... So she'd give me, like, a pile of quarters, and I'd just sit out there the whole time she was in Walmart playing it.
Hey, do you remember the thing at the Walmart where if you were continuing, you try to run into the service desk and get changed?
Yeah, get changed before it ran out, yeah.
Please continue. I'd like to return his car battery. No, you weren't.
Get out of the way.
You know, this is back in the day when Walmarts weren't the size of small planets.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty small, actually, comparatively.
Yeah. What's next?
Number five is a very recent one. The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion for the 360.
Thank you, kind sir.
This one, I don't know, I figured just because I had sunk 80 hours of my life into it, that had to mean something, but...
I agree.
It's an amazing game to play. I mean, anybody who hasn't played it... It's one of those where it's kind of this goofy RPG thing, and people told me it was great, you know, and I was like, it doesn't really sound like my sort of game, and they were just like, trust me, go get it. I did.
Yep.
80 hours later, I had cleared it.
You emerged.
And there's still, I probably still got another 80 hours worth of stuff I could do in that game. It's just so deep. I mean, you can go in any, you know, there's like a little crack in a wall over here. You go in there and there's this whole cavern system in there and you can go down there and spend an hour fighting your way through it.
And the depth of a game like that comes from high technology and large disk capacity.
Powerful systems. So. Yeah. Here's one that'll make all of our listeners happy. Number four is The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo.
Yes!
Which is a fantastic game, and one of the reasons why I'm saddened by how far Nintendo has fallen in recent years, because I know what they're capable of.
Oh, great, you just made everybody happy, and now you pissed them off again.
Just because I know what they were capable of. They used to make such, you know, fantastic games like that, and this one was great. It had where you had the light world and the dark world, and it just had a lot of depth to it, and... I really need to buy it again because I loaned it to some prick like 10 years ago and I never got it back. And one of these days I'm going to get the itch to play it.
A couple of copies are pre-played.
Yeah, so I'll have to snap that up.
We had this idea. We'd go in there, we'd both buy our own copies, and then I would fix the batteries in them, and then we'd go our merry ways.
Yeah, so it was a great game. But, I know I spent a lot of time with that one way back in the day.
Yeah, it was pretty. That was a pretty deep game, too.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. Just when you get through the light world portion, then it's like, oh, crap, now I got to go through this whole dark world, and it's a lot of fun. I don't remember a lot about it again because it's been so long since I played it. But number three I put on here was Sid Meier's Civilization II for the PC. If you haven't noticed yet, every single game on my top 10 is for a different system. I have no duplicates here, so...
get to the duplicates when we get to my list.
Which wasn't even intentional, it just kind of worked out this way.
That's pretty impressive, I'm jealous.
So, Civilization 2, I've told Ben before, you know, because he talks about first-person shooters on the PC and all that, and I just cannot play them on the PC, and for me, gaming on a PC has pretty much always just been, like, strategy games, and it's probably because of this game that I kind of have that mentality, like, between this and SimCity, but with Civilization 2, it was really cool. You get to go, you start out, like, 4,000 years in the past, and you got to do to the stick out in the middle of nowhere. You build your first city, and you have basically nothing, and you got to research pottery and all this crap, and eventually you go through time, and you get up to where you're doing, like, the Manhattan Project, and you can build wonders of the world, like the pyramids, and it's just a really deep game, and you can burn, like, I burned probably 10 hours at a shot on that game untold numbers of times.
Wow.
Staying up late into the night, and I really like playing strategy games on the computer, because I can just kind of kick back and chill out and entrench myself for many hours, so it's a great game, and I know they've come out with Civilization 3, which I bought since, and then Civilization 4, which I haven't gotten to play yet, but Ben said he might have a lead on that one for me, so I'll have to check that out. But
I think I can hook you up.
But, yeah, so that's kind of the granddaddy of the strategy genre for me, so. Number two is one that is pretty recent again. It's Gran Turismo 4 for the PS2.
Wow.
That's why it's kind of hard to say if this is really my number two game of all time, but it, I love driving games, and this one gave me one of the coolest experiences I've ever had on a game system, because I remember the day it came out, we couldn't find it anywhere. Me and this guy at work were all waiting for it and everything, and we wound up finding out that, like, an EB Games over way over on the east side of town had it. So I, like, blazed over there after work that day and bought two copies so that me and him could have one. And I got home, and I went and bought the steering wheel for, like, $150 and everything for it with the pedals, and which is ridiculous. You can buy, like, whole game systems for that. But it lent itself to being such a cool experience because the steering wheel is actually developed to work specifically with GT4. And the force feedback features, which will be noticeably absent in the upcoming PS3. It was really cool because, like, you'd be driving down the road and the steering wheel, you could actually feel the shutters in the wheel, like when you'd hit the rumble strips and different things like that. And it really added this element of authenticity to the game, and the graphics were phenomenal, and it actually had the Nürburgring.
So would you say the steering wheel thing was worth it?
I think so, yeah. Provided me with quite a bit of entertainment. I mean, $150 is a lot to chew off, but it was, it's not just like a wheel you set there and that's it. It had a lot to it. You know, it actually,
it was like a wheel.
Yeah, it was really like driving down the road because you could feel subtleties in the road and things and adjust your driving to it. It's, if anybody ever gets the chance, if they're into driving
games,
that's the way to go.
Did the stick shift have force feedback? It had a stick shift, didn't
it? Yeah, but it was just like you flipped it up and flipped it down to shift. It didn't have any force feedback, but the wheel did, so.
So now, like, with a stick, you can feel, like, well, it's usually through the gas pedal, you know, when you feel the RPMs.
Yeah, it didn't get quite to that level, but maybe
maybe next time.
Maybe eventually.
When Gran Turismo 5 comes out in 9 more years.
Yeah, but it won't have force feedback, so I don't know what they're going to do. But
it'll probably go to the 360 like everything else.
And it had the Nürburgring Nordschleife on it, which is this German road course, which anybody who's into cars at all knows about it. And it's like this 13-mile-long course that has huge straights and S-curves and everything else. And so it actually had that course on it. And since I'm probably never going to get to go to Germany and actually drive on that track, this is probably the closest I'm ever going to get to it with the steering wheel and everything. So
what's your number one game?
Well, Ben already knows what it is, I'm sure, since it hasn't shown up in the previous 9.
Actually, I have no idea what you're going to say.
Oh, my number one game of all time is Snatcher for the Sega CD. Which is I guess it's a truly rare game. I was actually looking around online about it today, and on Wikipedia they had some excerpt from an interview with one of the people that worked on it, and apparently they only sold a few thousand copies of it in the States.
Wow.
So I've got one of the few thousand, I guess.
So you bought it new or whatever?
Yeah, I actually bought it new way back when. Like, so I've got that in Chrono Trigger to my credit. So
you've got me beat.
But Snatcher, it's just a really cool game. It's probably sounds lame when you hear about it because it's basically like kind of a text-based adventure with some shooting in it. So you could, I did read Because I didn't remember, because I never had the light gun for the Sega, but you could actually use
Don't
the light
worry,
gun.
Don't worry, it sucked.
Okay. But you could actually use the light gun from Lethal Enforcers to take part in the shooting scenes.
Oh,
because
it was made by Konami? Yep. Oh, you mean that light gun? Because there was another one. There was there was actual Sega light gun, too, but yeah, okay.
But yeah, it was it's kind of like an interactive graphic novel is probably the best way to look at it, because it was just images on the screen, but it was like all anime-style drawing. But then it would say, you know, like you could investigate, look, or whatever, and it was kind of like choose your own adventure, kind of. And mm-hmm. the story was just really good. It was basically like Blade Runner, because it's got like androids or, you know, showing up and mm-hmm. human guys and everything. And there was some sort of big catastrophe 50 years before and wiped out
60% of the population. I've never played that. You're going to have to show it to me sometime.
Yeah, I'll have to throw it in. I haven't played it in ages, but I really need to dust off my Sega CD and pop it in again. Cause
I just realized both our favorite games are made by the same company.
Oh.
Yeah.
I might have an idea of what Ben's is now.
Oh, I'm sure you can guess.
But it's hard to find, and probably most people out there don't have Sega CDs. And I guess this is the only time Snatcher was released in the States on any system.
Not even PC?
Form. Yeah, it never got released on PC. They made, I think it was, they made it for the Saturn and the PS1, but only in Japan, I read. But they never actually brought out for anything else other than the Sega CD, which is unfortunate because it makes it more difficult. I don't know, maybe it's emulated out there somewhere so people can get a hold of it that way. But you'd kind of go through the text-based stuff and then you'd get to an action sequence, and it would change to where you've got this screen, you know, and you'd have to blast mm-hmm. the androids or whatever. And it was fairly violent, and it dealt with mature themes. Like, the main characters in it were kind of having a tough marriage, and there was just all sorts of kind of rough subject matter. And when you actually killed somebody, your character kind of coped with that event, instead of it just being kind of a disposable thing that happened, like, oh, I killed somebody again. Like,
now, wasn't that from the guy who made Metal Slug? Like,
No, Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
It's from the guy who came up with Metal Gear and all that. And there's actually the nav computer your character uses in the game is actually called Metal Gear.
Mm.
And but yeah, it was a pretty elaborate game. You could actually use the phone and put in different phone numbers and call mm-hmm. around and all that. And it was pretty deep game. So
it did use a CD-ROM.
Yes.
The capacity for more than just FMV.
And it had great voice acting in it, like still as good as anything that's come out since, I would say.
Because a lot of games don't have good voice acting.
No. So yeah, okay. It's pretty wicked game.
All right. Well, that was great. Oh, one more question. What would you say is your favorite console of all time? Quickly.
I would probably have to say the Super Nintendo. Just because it's got a lot of great stuff, which I mentioned before. So.
All right. Well, we better...
The 360 may change that, though, with time.
Yes.
So.
Well, the Wii could, too. You never know.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, now it's time for my top favorite games. I'm going to start with some of my runners-up as well. I also have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade machine on my list.
Yes!
For the same reasons Jones mentioned. I mean, maybe, you know, you don't think about it now, but the thing is, if you played a game a lot back in the day, it probably was good, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of my list is comprised of games that I just played a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't play them now, but, you know.
That's kind of what mine was, too.
On that same notice, on my top 10, on my runners-up list, I mean, I have NBA Live 96, which is on the Genesis. 1995, I played that a lot.
You still were playing it like a year ago, I remember.
Oh, I still have it. Actually, it's down on the Entertainment Center, the box.
With also your jacked up teams or whatever, all the 99s and the 7'10" players or whatever.
Yeah, it's fun because it's a video game. It's faster than football. I used to play Madden. I mean, back in the Genesis days, I don't now, but and you can make your own players. It was always really fun. Another runner-up is Super Mario Bros. 3 on the Nintendo. Great game.
Good.
Lots of depth. Pretty awesome.
It's probably the best Mario game, probably.
Oh, yeah. I think
say.
It's BS when, like, I don't know which magazine it was. Actually, I do, but I won't say because maybe I want an article someday. It's like, Super Mario Bros. 1 is the best game ever. It's like,
oh,
how?
God.
It's not even better than Mario 3.
Ugh.
Anyway, No, look, 2-3s in a row. My other runner-up game is Sonic the Hedgehog 3 on the Sega Genesis. It's my favorite Sonic the Hedgehog game.
Nice.
Yeah, that was the one that had the music secretly done by Michael Jackson. But
yeah,
since
you were telling
me
about that.
His scandal, they kind of took his name off the credits. Okay, let's go on to my top 10 favorite list.
Well, at least he didn't have his nipple pop out. That would have been shameful.
The curse of the Jacksons.
Yes.
Okay, number 10 on my list, I have Metal Slug, which was on the Neo Geo Holman Arcade in 1996. Metal Slug is like Contra, except for with much better graphics and animation, and it's... I would say better than Contra, but that would kind of contradict my... That would contradict my list. So, it's just a really cool game. I like it a lot. I've been trying to find Metal Slug 1 for my Neo Geo for a long time. I have Metal Slug 2, which is fun, too. And it's a great game. If you've never played Metal Slug, which is quite possible, play it. I think it's coming to Xbox Live Arcade and the Wii, so hook yourself up.
Sweet.
Number 9, I have a rather obscure title. Well, I guess you did too. I mean, Snatcher. Shadow of the Ninja, which was on the Nintendo, 1991. It was a side-scrolling ninja game.
I think Ninja Gaiden, though.
Right. I actually prefer it because it was easier and there weren't any goddamn eagles in it.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden was kind of a... Bitch,
oh, yeah. So. Shadow of the Ninja was a side-scroller, and there's these two ninjas that had two players simultaneous, and he went around some post-apocalyptic world fighting robots or something, I don't know. But it was cool because every stage had different kinds of bad guys. It wasn't just like the same eagle or whatever flying at you every time. There'd be certain bad guys in stage one, new kind of bad guys like generic foot soldiers in stage two. The boss battles were pretty cool. The graphics were neat. He had a lot of play mechanics. He could, like, hang underneath balconies and throw ninja stars or flip over things or grab onto walls. Pretty neat game. I liked it. That was by Natsume, who made Harvest Moon.
Hey.
Which isn't on my list. Number 8, I have Grand Theft Auto Vice City on the PS2 from 2002.
That is definitely the best of the Grand Theft Autos.
Yeah, I liked it more than San Andreas because it wasn't as big.
Yeah.
It didn't have as many hills and whatnot, but the hills in San Andreas were kind of a pain, too, because if you wrecked your car, you had to walk back up them.
Yeah. And it's basically Scarface, so...
Right,
which
right.
Is cool.
And it was fun. I really enjoyed playing through Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and after I beat it even, I would boot it up and just run around causing, you know, mayhem in Vice City, like, for quite a while, like several months after I beat it, because it was just fun. I mean, you drive around in a daily world, and you're behind slow drivers and whatnot, and it's fun to just play this virtual world and... rip shit up, which is really the purpose of games.
Yeah, that would have been on my honorable mentions. I kind of overlooked it, so...
Yeah, it is a really good game. Number 7, I have Castlevania 3 for the Nintendo, 1990. Mm. This was kind of a return to the... You know, Castlevania 1 was an arcade game and a Nintendo game. Castlevania 2 was like the side-scrolling adventure that I played a lot but never really got very far in because I didn't understand Neil with the crystal... What the fuck? Castlevania 3 was my favorite of the Nintendo series because it was kind of a mixture of the two. It had really good graphics. It was a big game. I just really liked it. I love the music.
Yeah.
It's one of the best things about Castlevania.
The Castlevania games is awesome.
Number 6 on my list is, oh, look what's back. I give it a tie. GoldenEye / Perfect Dark because they're basically the same game. GoldenEye single player was better than Perfect Dark, but Perfect Dark's multiplayer... I spent a lot of time, and I was actually playing that until early 2002, so both great games. I was fairly disappointed with the new one on 360. I know you play it every so often, don't you?
Yeah, it's all right. It's nothing incredible. I'd still take GoldenEye over it in a heartbeat, obviously, since GoldenEye's on my list and Zero isn't, so.
Yep, but I really liked the GoldenEye and the Perfect Dark. Perfect Dark had a lot of things you could do in multiplayer that... games still don't, or you see, like, oh, this game has bots or whatever. It's like, yeah, Perfect Dark did that 6 years ago.
Yeah.
But it was on a Nintendo 64, so people forgot or something. Number 5 on my list is Mega Man 2 for the original Nintendo, 1989.
Little Capcom action.
Yep, that was a great game.
That was the best of the Mega Mans, I would agree
as
well.
There was about 9,000 Mega Mans since then, but that was the best that I ever played, and... It was new enough that it was, you know, new and original, but before everything got stale and recycled, you know. Mega Man 5 or 4 or whatever, you're fighting, like, Top Man and Dirt Man or Dust Man. Like, come on. So at least Mega Man 2 was, it was like kind of the apex of the series. Right. Or like that. We noticed that was like one of the more expensive Nintendo carts at pre-played, so I can't be wrong. Also, it had awesome music. As you can see, I'm predisposed to games with good music. Speaking of games with good music, my number 4 favorite game of all time is the arcade version of Afterburner 2, as seen in Terminator 2. That was an awesome game. I mean, that was what an arcade game should
be.
That
was pretty wicked, yeah.
It had awesome stereo sound. It was fast. It was loud. It was intense. The Stage 3 music just ruled. That was one where it was like... And you're like, oh, man, this is so awesome. And your plane would just get winged and it would, like, spin and, like, crash along the ground or just blow up. And
it was like a Michael Bay film done well.
Yep. Not that I admit to having that as an emulated ROM, but if I did, I could play through that over and over and over. I'd sit down and play through the whole game with unlimited credits. It's awesome. It's just a great, fun game. It's just excellent. It's a pure game. It's wonderful.
Good brain dead time.
A lot of people like Space Harrier, but you know what? Space Harrier is like, ooh, look, I'm hovering in the air and I'm throwing balls at things that are throwing balls at me. It's like, what is this? I mean, a jet? It's got missiles and guns.
Well, Thunderblade was kind of similar to Afterburner. Not quite as
it wasn't as
paced,
not as good.
No,
but yeah, it was similar. But Afterburner was just, oh god, I loved it. No version since then has really come close, except for like the Sega Ages one, which was a kind of obscure disc that was released for the Saturn. Basically, it was a bunch of classic Sega games on the Saturn. They're pretty good emulation. Okay, number 3, my third favorite game of all time is the original Nintendo Contra. And earlier I almost said that Metal Slug is better, which I kind of think so now, but I still played Contra more. It was first.
Contra's just goddamn cool. That also would have been on my honorable mentions if I would have remembered it.
Yeah. I could actually play through that game without dying. Oh god, I played it so much.
It's probably still the most fun cooperative play game, even though it's very simple and everything, but it had the cool thing where it changed up the levels, like you went side-scroller, then you had to go through the base.
And it was actually better than the arcade version. The arcade version was kind of clunky, strangely enough.
And then the spread gun.
Oh, yes. Super Contra is pretty good, too, but it's a little too flat. There's not enough platforming in it. My second favorite game of all time is Star Fox on the Super Nintendo, 1993.
Yes, I did know what your number one is.
Yep. Yes. But back to Star Fox, I recently bought another Super Nintendo, which is like the third time I've bought one. They keep getting turned into portables or something.
I don't know how that happens.
And I was able to play Star Fox. I played through that, I think, last Thursday night in the easy setting. I love that game. You can just sit there and play through the whole thing in like 20 minutes, and I never get tired of it.
Huh.
My number one game I've only played through once, but god, I just love playing Star Fox. It's like the best Star Wars game ever made, but it's not called Star Wars. Sorry I said it, because it's a great flight game. Except I have a couple flight games on my list. You get to dodge things as much as shoot them. The music is great.
Yeah.
The graphics were pretty good for their time. Probably better than the Jaguar graphics.
Even though it was a pretty big deal when it came out.
I
played it a bit. I never quite got into it to that level, but it was pretty decent, I thought.
Oh, I loved it.
I'll have to give it another look one of these days.
You know, as far as like time spent playing it, it probably deserves a number one spot, but
oh no.
The depth of my number one game is what gives it the edge, I think. My number one favorite game of all time, at least at the moment, is Castlevania Symphony of the Night for the PlayStation 1. It was released in 1997. I didn't play it until 99, but I started playing it and I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. Castlevania's always been my favorite series, and I think it's yours too, isn't it?
Yeah, I would agree.
And
I haven't played this yet, which
it's coming
I know,
to live!
Which I know you think is sacrilege, so I need to correct
think
that.
No is sacrilege. If you haven't played Castlevania Symphony of the Night, you should. It's an amazing game. Some people say Rondo of Blood is better on the TurboGrafx 16. Maybe it is. I kind of doubt it. I can't see how it could be any better. It's a humongous game. It's like the ones on the Game Boy, except if you get to play it on a real TV screen, which is too bad they don't make a 2D console version of Castlevania. I would sell my liver for one. I think a lot of people would. It's a humongous game. You have like two fists. You can put a weapon in either fist. Tons of depth. The castle, there's all these different areas. They don't hold your hand. It's very easy to miss like a whole lower section of the castle unless you know how to just do this one certain thing. And you find it by accident. And then you find out the game's like a third bigger. And then if you don't do end the game a certain way, it just kind of ends. But if you do something else instead, you find out there's a whole other castle, which is like upside down.
Oh, wow.
And it has all new bad guys and all new enemies, and it's much darker, and it's just humongous.
Wow.
It's one of those games I wish I could like erase my brain so I could play it again just for the joy of experiencing it for the first time.
Yeah.
It was that good of a game. Or maybe just if I cut out a certain portion of my brain. It could work. Yeah, but it'd be worth it. It's a great game. It has amazing graphics, amazing music. I mean, most of the 3D games on the PlayStation 1 look like crap.
Yeah.
They look pretty crappy because they had all that, you know, texture tearing and whatnot. They didn't look very good. This is a 2D game done in a very advanced system, so it looked awesome.
See, what you got to do is you just got to be like me with Snatcher and go like 10 years without playing it.
Uh-huh.
And then you kind of forget a lot of it.
So yeah,
like, you can go back and experience it fresh again, because that's what I'm going to do with Snatcher now, because it's been so long.
Yeah, I guess in another 3 years, it will have been 10 years since I played it.
I remember chunks of it, so.
Anyway, yeah, that's my pick for my favorite game. I also think it's probably one of the best games ever made, so I'll say that, too. I think it's coming to Xbox Live, where you could try to find it for the PS1 for, like, $10. It's worth it. It's what a side-scroller is meant to be.
I'll have to check it out one of these days.
Yep. Do you want to just pick one of these? What would you rather do? Would you rather talk about the worst games you've ever played or most overrated?
I'd rather talk about most overrated. I think that's more interesting.
Do you have some?
Yeah, because like worst games, it's like, I don't know. You get crap like Shaq Fu and
Bad
Racing. It's like,
yeah, or Bad Street Brawler on the NES or Total Recall.
Oh, no. So, yeah. So those are all crappy games. Stay away from them.
I had to make an honorable mention. The Atari 2600 version of Double Dragon is yes, it exists.
I still can't even believe that
best.
It exists.
I should show it to you after this. Yes, I have a ROM of it. I don't care.
A ROM.
I will help you download a ROM.
Boy, oh, sexy tomboy beanpole.
Okay, so, yeah. Oh, there are some really shitty games I like Night Trap and Sewer Shark, Little Miss Legacy. I enjoy them. I also like bad movies.
Ground
so what
Zero
can I say?
Texas.
I've never played that.
I still own that, so you can sample the waters.
Is it better than Corpse Killer?
I never played Corpse Killer, so
there are some of those CD-ROM games that they weren't just bad; they're unplayable. Like Supreme Warrior, which is like a first-person boxing game with FMV. It's as bad as it sounds.
Oh, I remember that now.
Yeah. Because even like Tomcat Alley, I mean, it was still playable.
Because I was thinking with the Sega CD, I actually only got snookered into buying like one of those games, and that was Ground Zero. I didn't get any of the other stuff. Although Night Trap's like rare, so I should have bought that, I guess. But
yep.
Oh, well.
Okay, do you want to do our most overrated games? Like
yes.
Our own opinions? Okay, why don't you do yours first?
Well, I'll start with one, and then we'll kind of do whatever. This will probably surprise people, since I'm supposedly this big Microsoft fanboy. But I'm going to go out and say that Halo is one of the more overrated games of all time.
I guess I better take it off my list.
Why? Well, it's interesting, because actually way back when I got my Xbox, I was torn between buying an Xbox or a GameCube, believe it or not. And I was looking online and all that, and I really wanted to get a GameCube because they had that Rogue Squadron game or whatever, because I'm a big Star Wars freak, so anytime there's a Star Wars game, I'm there.
So he's there every 5 minutes.
And then I started seeing these reviews about Halo, and I was getting just glorious reviews, and I was looking at them like, oh my god, this looks cool. Yeah, I gotta buy this thing. So I scurried out to Walmart, and it was like the day after Thanksgiving and everything, like 2 weeks after it came out or whatever, and there it was the last Xbox they had, and Halo was there too, so I was happy. Went home, and I played it, and I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool, but I got bored of it very quickly. I still haven't actually cleared the game. I think I went through, like, I know I went through the ship level and I got down onto the planet and everything, and you get to cruise around in this vehicle, which is kind of cool, and do some stuff, but it just, I don't know, the story, you know, this is where we get into the story stuff, I suppose, is that it just didn't resonate with me. It's like, oh, I'm some, you know, space marine fighting aliens.
That's every other game that comes out these days now.
Yeah, and like it's because of Halo, I think. But
yeah.
But it was just, I couldn't really relate. Like, it didn't have, you know, Master Chief's the main guy, and he's just not a character you relate to. There's not a lot of life to him. So it just, I don't know, I was just never able to get hooked on that game. And so yeah.
I played it a little bit. I had to agree. It wasn't like GoldenEye that had me hooked in 1 minute.
Yeah, it's nothing like that. So,
what's next?
So, what's your next one?
Oh,
we'll kind of go back and forth.
I have Metal Gear Solid for the PS1/PS2. I bought Metal Gear Solid. I played through it because it was hyped to the moon. It was supposed to be the GoldenEye killer or whatever. It was a well-done game, but I didn't think it was very fun. It was more like work. Yeah. It was very frustrating, and you like had to hit the button rapidly to not get electrocuted or tortured. Like, what is this?
I had a roommate who played that all the time, and it seemed like he got more pissed off than anything playing that game, and it just became like some sort of matter of, I've got to get this done. So he kept plugging
away. Grinding your heel into the snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, every 5 minutes.
That's the only reason he kept playing.
Every 5 minutes, it's like, dun, 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 snake!
Because he's like, I'm not going to let this game get the better of me. So he just kept going, but I'm like, oh, that sounds like a great time.
So I never really got into that. I liked the Metal Gear on the NES, but I never really played through it. But
yeah, it was okay.
So, you know, everyone's saying, you know, people will buy the PS3 for Metal Gear Solid 4. Not me.
No thanks.
What's your next overrated?
Well, another one, I can't speak to all of the 3D Zelda games, but the Macarena of Time, as we like to call it, or the Ocarina of Time, which, what was it? It was number one on that IGN list, of that reader poll. I think it was the number one game. And
that was a pretty good list otherwise, though.
It wasn't too bad, yeah, but
it was better than a lot of the actual editor lists I've read.
Yeah, but I played it, and it was, I remember I bought it, so I even pre-ordered it. I think it's like the only game I've ever actually freaking pre-ordered. So I got the gold cartridge and everything, like I was some sort of cool geek, I don't know. Got home, started playing it. I think I played it for between a half hour and an hour, and I'm just like, this sucks. I just couldn't get into the whole 3D Zelda thing. It just gave me nothing, and that
was
it.
What did you think of the 3D Mario 64?
That was going to be another one of my overrated games, actually, because that one gets put up on a pretty high pedestal. That one, I know you said that's like the only Mario game you've actually cleared.
That doesn't mean I think it's all that great.
But I thought it was interesting that you did that, but yeah, I think that one was very overrated, too. It was the same, kind of the same thing for me. I played that more than Macarena, but it was
well, it's
kind
a little redundant because
there
was not that many levels, and basically you'd keep going back to the same level over and over looking for a star that's a little bit higher up.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was like a cartridge limitation or something, but
it just wasn't much fun. It wasn't like, you know, Mario 3 or Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo. It just
didn't hook me. The 3D does not work. The 3D makes it more work because you've got to lock onto enemies or whatever, and
yeah, it just doesn't lend itself well to Mario and Zelda, and that's
okay.
Probably because of the baggage that comes with those games.
Okay, my next overrated game, I guess we can go over an hour, who gives a shit?
Why not?
My next overrated game is the Atari 2600 version of Pac-Man from 1982. Now, since this is universally thought to be a bad game, why is it on my list? Because back in the day it wasn't. It was kind of like Return of the Jedi. We all liked it until we were told by internet geeks that we're not supposed to like it, you know? Same thing with Pac-Man. Everybody played it, so that's the version of Pac-Man that people remember,
yeah. You
know? Which is unfortunate because it's a really bad version. Sorry, Todd Fry. So it's unfortunate that so many people remember that as Pac-Man.
I didn't realize that Pac-Man was disliked.
The 2600 version?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a classically hated cartridge,
really?
Right up there with E.T.
Really?
Yeah. See?
Wow.
It's not a very good version. Pac-Man has an eye, it doesn't turn around, it's really slow.
I played the hell out of it.
Beep, beep, look what, look what.
It worked for me.
I didn't care when I was six either.
Know?
What's your next overrated?
Another one, which I think was actually number two on that list, is Chrono Trigger, which I own.
Oh.
It's it seems like like when it came out, it wasn't that big of a deal. It kind of went nowhere, as I recall.
That's why it's so rare.
Kind of grown into this cult thing now, where it's like cool to like it now. And I know it'll piss people off that I said it's overrated, and that's fine. But it's another one, kind of like the Macarena of Time, where I got it, played it for a bit, just couldn't really get into it. Like, I liked Final Fantasy more, actually. Like, I actually played through Final Fantasy II, where I never played through Chrono Trigger. Maybe I need to give it another look, because it's been a while, but it just seems like now it's gone from being
You
unknown.
Can loan it to me!
I could do that, too. I could Since you have a Super Nintendo now.
Oh, I meant I was going to steal it.
No. And you cannot sell it.
Okay. But, well, hey, here's another... My next overrated game is a Super Nintendo title, Contra 3: The Alien Wars. I'm a big Contra fan, but I just never got into Contra 3. I don't know why. I really didn't like the overhead levels in the original Contra, so I hated the rotating levels in Contra 3. It's like, remember those? Oh wait, you never played
any of the
new ones.
I never played it. Yeah.
Oh, get this.
Even though I'm a big Contra fan,
get this, listeners. Jones has never played Super Contra or Contra 3.
But I love the original Contra.
Yes.
Except no substitute.
Anyway, I never really understood what the deal with Contra 3 was. I mean, it was pretty good, but a lot of people say it's like the best Contra, one of the best 2D games ever. I don't buy it. What's your next one, Jones?
Another one which will annoy you is, God, I'm just picking on Nintendo-based games. I don't mean to, actually, but except for Halo, I guess I got in there. But Perfect Dark.
Really?
I remember that I was getting like perfect 10s and all this crap for scores, you know, on the gaming sites and all this stuff, and I got it, and it's another one where I didn't get hooked by the story. I couldn't get into it. Like, GoldenEye to me is like light years better than that.
Well, yeah, the single player in GoldenEye is better.
Yeah, it's just, and I never really did the multiplayer aspects of Perfect Dark, so maybe I missed out there, but it just, it's another one where I played it for a bit, and it did introduce the cooperative mode, which was cool, where you could play split
even
screen together
through
the game.
Even though it clunked out the frame rate even more.
Yeah, but I mean, that was an interesting thing it did, but I just think it's incredibly overrated. I've played many, many games that are superior to it, but I know it holds a special place in some of our hearts. So,
well, I only put it on my list because I couldn't put GoldenEye on my list without putting it as a special mention.
Oh, couldn't you?
Okay, it's another Nintendo game. Super Mario World on the SNES. It's just, like, slow and clunky compared to Sonic the Hedgehog. Mario looked like he had a lazy eye. I don't know. I just didn't like it very much.
It was kind of a cool game.
Remember, he looked like he was cross-eyed or something. He's like,
yeah.
I've got to get glasses!
Mario! I kind of liked that with that game, though, how it had where you could kind of choose your way. Like, you didn't actually have to play through the entire game to...
It had the overhead thing? Mario 3 had that.
Like the map thing?
Yeah, Mario 3 had a map.
Did it?
Yeah.
See,
remember?
It's been so long since I've played through.
You, like, move around the map and stuff? Yeah.
Okay, it's been ages since I've played either
of course, Mario didn't look like he had a lazy eye in it. You know, no offense to anyone with lazy eyes out there, but Mario looked... I don't know, he just looked like he was like, maybe he was drunk. He's like, I've got the job.
Poor Mario.
I guess that just about does it for my overrated games list. You got anything else?
That pretty much takes care of mine, I think.
Okay.
There's probably more, but I can't think of any right now, so.
Well, this took longer than I thought it would, so I guess we're going to have to wrap it up for,
Yeah, we did pretty good considering we had like 20 minutes for the, listener questions segment, so. Kept
yeah.
It pretty tight otherwise, so.
Yeah, that was pretty. I thought it'd be 15, so I guess we're lucky it was only 20. I'm sure everybody wants to hear us discuss, you know, timing and stuff.
That's wonderful.
Anyway, we have a super special podcast planned for episode 7.
Yes, which we can't tell you anything about, but. Or can we?
It involves next-gen consoles. Obviously, it will involve those.
Yes.
And we're going to... It's not going to come out on a Wednesday. It'll come out on the next Monday. So it'll be after those consoles have been released.
Yes.
Or Monday, or as soon as I can get it done.
Or thereafter.
After that weekend. So it'll be a little later than this one. But we promise a super special podcast.
So tune in.
Yes.
It'll be a good time.
I'm trying to make some sort of Wii joke, but I can't think of anything.
We will make it worth your while. Come hell or high water.
Yep. All right, well, I guess
we didn't really rip on the Wii this time.
No, we didn't actually, we mentioned it a bunch of times, but we didn't actually rip on it.
Didn't really dig the hooks in.
So let's see. Okay, BenHeck.com podcast drinking game. Take a drink every time you mention running over Michelle Rodriguez, Justin Timberlake, or the Wii. take a drink right there. All right, well, until next time, this is Ben Hegenoren.
Jason Jones.
And we'll see you later.
Adios.